talking with the experts.
Join Karen Yankovic in episode 545 as she shares insider strategies for leveraging LinkedIn to become a thought leader and build generational wealth.
Because I want to talk a little bit about the kinds of first degree connections you want. But a first degree connection is you know, Rose and I are connected on LinkedIn. We are first degree connections. Okay. If Mary is connected with Rose and not me, she's a first degree connection to Rose, but Mary and I are second degree connections. And then Mary's connections, right, are second degree connections to Rose, but third degree connections to me. So that's basically how that works. And so there's power in your second degree network, and there's reasons to build your first degree. I'm not normally talking about numbers on LinkedIn, but there's reasons to build a strong, you know, abundant first degree network, because it gives you more access to that second degree network, right? It makes the more first degree connections you have, the more second degree connections you have. But I also wanted to caution, I'm not gonna even say caution you, but I want you to think a little bit about strategy, right?
Are you looking to elevate your brand? Advertise with Talking with the Experts and reach a global audience. With over 36,000 monthly listeners, your message will resonate with a dedicated and engaged community. Hosted by Rose Davidson, our podcast has ranked in the top 100 in Australia and the top 20 in New Zealand. Boost your brand visibility, connect with potential customers, and drive conversions. Our listeners are eager for innovative solutions and expert insights. Let your brand be the one that they trust. Are you ready to grow with us? To learn more about advertising opportunities, contact us today.
Talking with the Experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts, where we believe that success is a journey, and every journey is easier with help from friends. That's why we bring you top-notch experts and real business heroes eager to share their lessons from the road to success. We delve into new topics each week: effective marketing strategies, innovative problem solving, financial planning, and team building. We tackle everything you need to know to grow your business and keep it thriving. Whether you dream about launching your first startup or a business veteran looking to shake things up, we've got you covered. With each episode, you'll gain knowledge, boost your confidence, and be inspired to take action. So, grab a coffee, make yourself comfortable, and join our exciting journey. You're not alone in this. We're here, guiding you, cheering for you, and celebrating each milestone. Let's turn your business dreams into reality, starting today. Here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. Talking with the Experts is all about business, by business owners, for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today my guest is Karen Yankovic, and we're going to be discussing three things: the importance of building your LinkedIn network, types of connections you want to build, and how your profile impacts on the connections that you make. Now, Karen is the CEO of Uplevel Media. It's an LLC. And she's the host of Good Girls Get Rich podcast, and is a LinkedIn strategist and speaker dedicated to empowering women entrepreneurs. For over 30 years of experience in tech, marketing, and customer relations, Karen merges her expertise with a passion for guiding women to take charge of their destiny. She specializes in leveraging LinkedIn and PR strategies to help her clients become thought leaders, fostering wealth creation and impactful personal branding. Karen, welcome to Talking with the Experts. It's such a pleasure to have you.
I am so happy to be here with you, Rose. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'll start firstly about your journey from, you know, starting out post-college days, if you went to college, and to where you are now.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been around a while, so that's quite a journey. And it's definitely not a ladder to success. It was most definitely a roller coaster. In many cases, and some that I chose, you know, to stop for a little while. But you know what? I had children young. I got married young. I got divorced young. So I was a single mom with a bunch of kids. And I went to school for teaching, and I've always loved teaching. And I went for early childhood education. And I quickly realized that I was working in some schools, you know, summers and things like that. And I was like, okay, these teachers that are certified aren't making any more money than I'm making. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not there. So, and it's not that it's all about the money, but I just was like, this isn't for me. Like, I just felt like I loved working with kids, but it really wasn't for me. So I, you know what, I did it for a while, and I raised my kids, and I worked, I started to get some opportunities in the tech industry. So I worked for a phone company for a bunch of years while I raised my kids, and started to, when I left there, I started a company, created an agency. When the phone companies here started creating agencies, I was offered a contract for one. And actually, to be honest, I worked for another agency. And then when I went out on my own to create my own agency, it was probably in the 90s. I was too young and a woman. I couldn't get the contracts on my own. I had to find an old white guy literally to get the contracts I needed to get to be able to run the agency I wanted to run. And thankfully he ended up being an amazing mentor to me. But that was kind of my first foray into entrepreneurism. I was like, all right, I can do this myself. I had the contracts, I had the relationships, and I realized very quickly the importance of the relationships. But I also remember I mentioned that was tech. So I was very often the only woman in the room. So I realized early on that I had to portray confidence. How they saw me in that room was important. It didn't matter how much I knew. Like, I could have had, and I did have like a brain full of this stuff. But if they didn't believe in me, I just didn't even get to open my mouth. And what I didn't realize was how valuable a skill that was teaching me. So as the years went by, and you know, I did different things, just things you had to do when you're home with your kids, right? When you're raising kids on your own. I started working when social media became a thing. I started to kind of embrace that because it was really a sweet spot for me. It blended the geeky techie stuff, the online stuff, with the social piece, the relationship piece that I was always really good at. And in the beginning, I was just teaching. What was happening was I was just helping friends with this, and they were like, well, wait, how did you get so many Facebook followers? How did you do this? Can you do it for me? So I started to do that and, you know, thinking I needed to be all things to all people. But what I was doing, because I had this training that I didn't even know I had, which was shining a light on yourself so people know that you're credible at what you do, I was always driving people to LinkedIn first and going, before we do all this, we got to strengthen your personal brand. People need to know that you're a rock star. And that by now we had LinkedIn, which we didn't have in the days that I was doing tech. So I was driving people to LinkedIn initially. So as I started getting better and learning more and more about digital marketing and understanding the value of niching, I started niching more and more on LinkedIn. And what I was starting to find was when people needed a speaker, for example, for a social media speaker for a conference, my name would get thrown in with 500 other people, which was great. I was so grateful for that. But when I started to niche down on LinkedIn, 500 people would say, oh, call Karen if you need a LinkedIn speaker. I was like, okay, I like this. How can I get this? How can I do more of this? So that's kind of how I started niching down. I had a collaboration a bunch of years ago with a friend who has a PR expertise, and I really realized how that fed that same need of mine to build credibility in my clients. Help, because when you're getting featured in newspapers or magazines or interviewed on podcasts, right? People listening today may not have heard of me before, but because Rose brought me to the table, I come to that table with a little bit more credibility than if I was there on my own, right? So with what I learned about PR and that, it's kind of brought me to where I've landed today, which is LinkedIn and PR strategies. And you know what, Rose, I don't really create a business that excludes men. I more want women to feel included in this. And I don't think enough women feel included in LinkedIn strategies. I don't think enough women are shining a light on themselves. Don't really care what your body parts are or how you identify, but I've created a brand that really supports women to step into their next chapter in a much more confident and competent and a way that shines a light on their genius so that they can be looking for the bigger opportunities, the bigger contracts. And, you know, in this crazy world we're living in, nothing fuels my heart more than women that have money. So I want more wealthy women in the world. And that's kind of where I've landed today, helping women create a brand using LinkedIn and PR strategies that helps them, you know, land the bigger contracts, get the bigger opportunities, and be the CEO, build actual wealth in their lives and in their businesses.
Absolutely. And, you know, you would think in, you know, this age of maturity and, you know, where we are in the century that, you know, women would be seen as equals in the boardroom or, you know, in any of the industries that they're in, and they're still lagging behind, you know. And
so, Rose, there was a study in like 2019. So before the pandemic, I believe that this has not gone in the right direction, that showed that women were still making $500 billion less than men, trillion, for the same jobs.
Yeah.
In 2019. So 5 years ago, right?
Yeah,
I think with the pandemic, that probably went even further because it was women that were staying home and making sure the kids were homeschooled and doing all the things, right? And I even saw this play out with my own family, you know? And I think that, you know, my sons and the men in my life, I think they're pretty open to not depending on their wives to do everything. Yet that was still, I still saw that, you know, to some degree playing out. And it's, you know, listen, we can whine about it, or we can say, all right, there's $500 billion in that pie that's unaccounted for. I want a piece of it, right? I want a piece of that $500 billion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I would have thought that, you know, we were probably grew up in the 60s and 70s and mm-hmm. 80s and 90s when you know, that sort of thing was commonplace. But you'd think now that in the 21st century, yeah, that we wouldn't be having to deal with those issues. But anyway, yeah. Moving on.
Here we are.
So why is it important for anyone, or, you know, and particularly women, to build their network on LinkedIn? I mean, I know there's a lot of strategies, and LinkedIn until recently hasn't really been a great tool for business owners, even though it is for business owners. You know, they're improving their algorithms and, you know, the things that you can get your hands on in the free account. So why is it more important now for us to build our networks?
Well, I would disagree a little bit that LinkedIn has not been the place. I think LinkedIn's always been the place. I just don't think we've ever really realized it. I think it's easier for us to comprehend Facebook and Instagram and things like that. But so LinkedIn, in its at the heart of it, is about networking. And where, you know, if you look at through all those decades that you just mentioned, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and probably back, you know, a couple centuries, when I ask somebody, where did you get that giant opportunity that you've got from, 99% of the time, they tell me a referral, right? Like people, we love referrals. Referrals happen when you network. Referrals happen when you build a strong network. So yes, you know, yes, will you get referrals if you network on Facebook or Instagram? Well, you can, but they're not wholly business, right? They're not solely business. We're doing that little dance where we're posting a little bit about our business on our personal pages and then trying to drive people to our business pages. LinkedIn's just all business, right? So while there is definitely, if you think about 10 years ago on LinkedIn, people were looking at LinkedIn as just like their online resume. And yeah, a lot of people still think like that. But I want you to think about this. Your resume is all about who you used to be. When we think about looking for opportunities, looking for the next opportunity, even if we go back to thinking about it in the old corporate ways, the advice was always, well, dress for the job you want, right? I want you to apply that same strategy to LinkedIn. Create a profile that positions you for the person you're becoming, not the person you used to be, right? And I'm not suggesting that you make stuff up, but you can, nobody cares about the stuff you, nobody cares about if you know Word or Excel, right? They care about what you could do for them. So it's timeless marketing. It's the marketing we do on LinkedIn is timeless marketing. If you overlay having this beautiful platform that allows us to connect with the CEO and not have to go through the gatekeeper, which we used to have to do many years ago, right, to get to the CEO. If you overlay it with this platform, now you've got like just absolute power to build a brand that positions you as if you're peers with the most influential people in your industry.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. It is a way to bypass the gatekeeper.
Right. There's no need to ever talk to the gatekeeper. Right.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. Not like the old days. And you're right. People were using it as a place to apply for a job and use it as a place to store their resume. And, rather than telling people what you could do for them, because that's what people want. They want your authenticity, and they want to know what you can do for them, what's in it for them if they connect with you. So yeah, great points. And I really like that way that you put that. So there are a lot of connections that you can make on LinkedIn. But can you elaborate to me a little bit about what first, second, and third connections are? Because a lot of people don't understand what they are.
Yep. So, and I want to, I'm going to take that a step further, because I want to talk a little bit about the kinds of first degree connections you want. But a first degree connection is you know, Rose and I are connected on LinkedIn. We are first degree connections. Okay. If Mary is connected with Rose and not me, she's a first degree connection to Rose, but Mary and I are second degree connections. And then Mary's connections, right, are second degree connections to Rose, but third degree connections to me. So that's basically how that works. And so there's power in your second degree network, and there's reasons to build your first degree. I'm not normally talking about numbers on LinkedIn, but there's reasons to build a strong, you know, abundant first degree network, because it gives you more access to that second degree network, right? It makes your, the more first degree connections you have, the more second degree connections you have. But I also wanted to caution, I'm not going to even say caution you, but I want you to think a little bit about strategy, right? I know that most of the people that I talk to, and it was me at one point, when they think about their LinkedIn network, they just think about all the people that connected with them over the years. And there's not really ever been a strategy to build it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what that means is it's valuable, but not as valuable as if you intentionally built that network. And I'm sure that there are somebody listening right now going, oh my gosh, Karen, do you know how many times a day I get pitched by people on LinkedIn that are just like, connect with me, buy my stuff, connect with me, buy my stuff. I get it. I want you to ignore that. Because that I like to refer to LinkedIn as my money tree, and I call those the weeds. And we don't want to like let the weeds overtake our money tree. Like just pull them, pluck them, delete them, get rid of them, ignore them, and focus on the opportunities. So think about, when I think about building a network on LinkedIn, there's a couple things. I want you to first think about it from a micro-targeted standpoint. Yes, do I want you to continue to build it so that it grows? Yes. Does it need to be by 100 a month? No. I think if you're building it intentionally, you know, the number that I throw out there as a starter is like 5 people a week. If you were thinking about 5 people a week that you could add to your network with the intention of only adding people you actually want to build a relationship with and actually get on a phone or a Zoom call with, or actually get to know, right? We're not looking to just have a network full of faceless people. We're thinking about those referral opportunities, right? So thinking about that, there's 3 categories of connections that I like to kind of build into that, those 5 people, right? The first, let's take the elephant out of the room. Of course, we want to connect with people that might want to buy our stuff. That is not where I focus any of my efforts, any of my strategies, or any of my trainings. That happens, but it happens. I want my strategy, instead of me being out there spamming people and saying, buy my stuff, give me your credit card, buy my stuff, give me your credit card, I want them coming to me. So the first category is a little bit less magnetic, but we want to acknowledge that there's times that we want to do that, right? The second 2 categories is what makes it magnetic. The second category being, who else has an audience of people that are similar to yours? So for example, if you are a, let's just say you're a business coach. Let's just say you're a business coach and you go to your local chamber of commerce. Maybe you want to build relationships with the accountants, because the accountants that serve businesses have an audience full of businesses that might need some business coaching, right? So you want to not go to everybody. You're not going to the chamber necessarily to say, I'm a business coach, you need me. You want to go to them, and because you want those conversations to be, here's what I do, who do you know? Right. So now you're building one-on-one relationships, but really it's a one-to-many opportunity. And that's where you start to build that magnetic approach to the work that you're doing. And there's so many different ways that you can approach that middle category of who else has a network of people. The third category is the media, is journalists, is podcast hosts, right? Rose and Karen get to know each other. And now Rose is introducing Karen to her podcast audience, right? Another, I'm building that one-to-one relationship with Rose, but really it's a one-to-many. And people overlook this. People overlook the power of this. you know, you, I have a podcast as well, Rose, and I, you know, it's not every day that I wake up and there's 50 people posting all about my podcast all over the place, right? So if you are doing that, if you're listening to this show right now, go on over to LinkedIn, drop in a comment about what I said or Rose said that struck you, and tag me and tag Rose. And that is how you build relationships with podcast hosts, not pitching them because you want to be on their show, right? Like actually providing them value. And do this times the local journalists in your area, times the, let's say you serve a specific industry. You want to build relationships with, you know, let's say I have a somebody that is in one of my programs that is has an accounting business, but she specializes in, here in the US, cannabis is becoming legal in more and more states. So she specializes in helping business with their accounting, because as you can imagine, it's very regulated. And if you have an accountant that doesn't know the specific regulations around that, you're just going to be out of business, right? So she will want to be building relationships with all of the journalists that write about cannabis. You know how many articles there are and how many magazines and podcasts and blogs there are supporting people building businesses in that industry, right? So think about that third category. Think about who are those people and bring those people into your network by sharing their content, by building actual relationships with them. And that's what I want you to do as you're building your LinkedIn network. And you can be doing this consistently. But if you're watering your money tree, you got to water it every week. But you don't have to water it every day because you'll drown it, right? But if you let it go for 2 months, now it's going to die and you got to start all over again, right? So it's that same thing. Just give it a little bit of water every week, a little bit of love and attention every single week. And you will start to see now your network is not full of faceless people that somehow randomly asked to connect with you. Now you're intentionally building it. So in 6 months, that network is powerful.
Yeah, that's really great advice. I hadn't thought of it in that way. I mean, a lot of the connection requests that I'm getting are from people from overseas who want to give me podcasting strategies
I've looked at your YouTube channel, and I think I can give you some advice, right?
I don't care, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm.
I know,
because I don't want to use their services, and it's really annoying when people make a connection request and then try to sell me something straight away. That to me is so annoying. They don't get to know me first. They just want to sell me their latest course or their latest book or whatever. And to me, I find that is not good business.
It's not. And there's almost, if you're doing this intentionally and with the strategies that I teach, there's never a reason to do cold outreach ever. And you can still build, and especially in this crazy market, I don't know about you, but we're seeing some big market shifts in 2024. Yeah. Especially in this market, people are only investing in people that they know, like, and trust.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree. And I think that's been something that's been building and growing for, you know, a few years now. Yeah. And I think, I think just probably before the pandemic started, but the pandemic really has even though it was a really bad thing that happened, a lot of good came out of it as far as networking is concerned. And a lot of,
I think so too.
The good things that came out of it are the building the network, making connections, having these one-on-one conversations. I mean, Zoom has been around for a long time, but it wasn't used as much until the pandemic hit. And those are the good things that came out of it that allowed us to be more authentic, because you can't really hide your feelings on a face-to-face. It's a bit hard. Body language doesn't lie.
Exactly. And that's building that know, like, and trust that's so important right now, I from what I'm seeing in this marketing landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, making those connections is really great, first, second, or maybe not so much third, but why is your profile and how you build your profile so important to those connections requests that you're receiving?
Well, you know, listen, if you are reaching out to a journalist or somebody that you think might be a good, you know, joint venture partner for you or whatever, I'm not going to say it's not going to work if you don't have a great LinkedIn profile, but you are making it a lot harder for yourself. Because if you you meet somebody, let's just stick with our networking, in-person networking thing, right? You walk into a room, you meet people, you know, I don't walk in and say, hey, I'm Karen Yankovich, and do you know how many social media followers I have? Like, you don't say that, right? But what you want is to connect with them on LinkedIn the next day and have people go, oh, wait a minute. I want to know, I need to connect with her. I need to know this person, right? It does a lot of the heavy lifting for you, especially for the introverts listening out there, right? We don't want to go out there and be like bragging about ourselves all the time. We can let our LinkedIn profile do that, right? So when you create a profile that positions you as if you're peers with the most influential people in your industry, people will start to see you differently. And it's so interesting, Rose, because so many, especially women, they have a hard time shining a light on their accomplishments. And one of the services we provide in almost every level of service that we offer is we write your LinkedIn profile for you, because it's really hard to write your own LinkedIn profile and really see yourself as others see you, right? So often they're like, I don't know if I can say this about myself. I'm like, you did all this stuff, right? Like, I didn't do this stuff. You did all this stuff. So we didn't make this up, but we have such a hard time like leaning into our accomplishments. So when you're doing that, so many people aren't doing that. So when you're doing that, it's immediately going to make you stand out from the crowd. If you're getting those media opportunities, you might be the only one in your, you know, it's going to make you stand out from your competitors because you're as seen as. And, you know, one of the things, Rose, that we learned through the pandemic, certainly from a lot of these Zoom calls and like Zoom networking calls and things like that, is people are checking us out. Your digital presence has never been more important, and you can create it. You can create it. And you want to, you know, if you're in a networking meeting and if you're like me, I'm writing the names down and I'm checking them out on LinkedIn while they're talking or whatever. And, you know, I'm not saying if they don't have anything, but if you don't give me anything for me to go, wow, hold on, let me get to more of that. You're leaving so much money on the table. So you want to take time to create a LinkedIn profile that, number one, is going to be, if somebody's looking to check you out, is that you're going to check out and they're going to see exactly what you want them to know about you. But there's so much more than that. You want to write a profile that is magnetic, right? We want that magnetic quality in our marketing. So using keywords that people are searching for, you know, if you are a money coach, right? Money coach for women in, you know, that infuses Reiki into the work or something like that, right? Use all those words because there's a conference out there searching for you, right? And if you don't come up in those searches, your competitors are going to get that job. And I bet your competitors don't know this. So use the words, like think about what people are searching for on LinkedIn, which is a little bit different than on Facebook, than on Google. And use those words in your profile so that when people are searching for the kinds of things you do, you come up. And, you know, the kinds of things, all my competitors know how to do this, right? So I do it, but it's not going to help me anywhere near as much as it's going to help everybody listening to this right now, right? So infuse those words into your profile so you're coming up. Again, that makes us have to, it really builds more ease into our marketing when people are finding us instead of us constantly out there chasing the next lead. So there's a lot of reasons to do that. But I got to tell you something, Rose. A couple of years ago, I was doing an in-person talk and similar, talking about some of the things we're talking about here today. And somebody nailed me to the wall and said, all right, Karen, one thing, give me one thing I need to do that, like, I only have time for one thing of everything you talked about. And I really, really, really wanted to say, you got to do your profile. But at the end of the day, a beautiful profile that nobody sees is like a flyer nailed to a tree in the middle of a forest, right? You need to take care of that profile, but you must do the outreach. You must build your network because that's, if you're not doing that, then you're not maximizing the potential on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Yep. I agree with everything that you've said. And I think, yeah, I might go and revisit my profile now just to make sure.
There you go. And if anybody's listening and wants me to take an eye on their profile, connect with me on LinkedIn. Let me know you heard me here. I'm happy to give you a couple little tips, a couple little profile tips, things I might see on your profile. I don't do that unless you ask me to, by the way. So you can connect with me. I'd love for you to connect with me. But if you don't ask me specifically for, can you take a look at my profile? I don't randomly give people advice on that. So,
well done. Yeah.
But I'm happy to do that if you want me to. Just make sure you ask me.
Lovely. All right. Karen, you've got a quiz on LinkedIn. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, about a year ago, I was in a class that I was taking, and there was a room full of people all looking for the kinds of success that I know they can get on LinkedIn. Every single person in the room said, oh, I don't even know where to get started. I don't even look at it. I don't even know where to get started. And it was really an eye opener for me because I was like, all right, how do I get them to see how they can get started? So that's why we created this quiz. It's more of like an assessment. If you go to anywhere on my website, karenyankovich.com/quiz, you'll see it. LinkedInquiz.com gets you there too, but somehow that doesn't always work. And basically, it's going to ask you some questions because some of us are more chatty and we want to build relationships. Others of us are more white paper strategy like, right? So we all have our strengths and we all also have our weaknesses. So what this quiz is going to do is it's going to assess a little bit what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, how you love to market and where you'd rather never have to market. And then it will get you a result. And based on your result, it's not only going to give you here's a couple ways to get started with your marketing on LinkedIn, but we went so much deeper with it. We're also going to give you, here's some things you want to watch out for, because based on what we've seen in your assessment, we think you're going to go straight for this. And we want you to watch out for that, right? Like, so we're not only giving you some tips to get started, but some things to watch out for. And because so much of the work that I do is I'm going to just go with like energy based. Like I could give you strategy all day long, but if you don't feel worthy of it, if you don't feel entitled to this, you're never going to do that outreach to that CEO. Right. So there's a lot of the work that we do is kind of like identity focused and helping you really step into this new identity. So we also have built in, morning visualizations to help you kind of shift your energy and get your head in the right place to do that outreach every week on LinkedIn. So there's so much we give you, and it's completely free. There's so much we give you in this assessment to just help you get started. And again, I said earlier, I just want there to be more wealthy women in the world. Women with money have choices, and women need more choices in this world. So I believe so. This is how I help do that. I don't, if you're feeling a little stuck, and by the way, men, this is works for you too, right? But if you're feeling a little stuck, you're not sure how to get started, this assessment is the perfect first place to get started.
It's perfect. Thank you. And you can find Karen on karenyankovich.com. You can find her on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and all those links will be put in the show notes when this goes to air. Karen, I always ask this question. If you were to give some tips, advice, a quote, something or other to our audience today, what might that be?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you homework. How's that? I'm going to give you homework. I'm going to say, take your most profitable service that you have, the biggest, fattest, juiciest thing you do. Let's say it's $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever that is, $50,000. Double it, put it on a piece of paper, and just brainstorm how you can create just this big, fat, juicy, amazing offer, because that's the offer you're going to take to LinkedIn. But we need to think bigger. I call it like flipping the funnel, right? If you sell pens, then I want you to sell beautiful pens, but we're going to think about how do we sell 100,000 of them? Who wants 100,000 of your pens, right? So that's what I want you to think about. The first thing you need to think about to have success on LinkedIn is you need to flip that funnel. Stop thinking about your $27 things and start thinking about your $10,000 things and $20,000 things. So think about what that is, and then come on over to LinkedIn and tell me what it looks like, because I want to hear it.
Great advice, Kara. Thanks so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I've loved all the things that you've said, and I'm going to be sure and go and look at my profile.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Rose. It was great to have time to chat with you.
Bye, Karen, for now.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time. Talking with the Experts.